do you guys want to do the chocolate chip or the sugar cookies first?
By all appearances, Lee Scazzari is living a comfortable suburban life. She baked cookies one recent afternoon with her four-year-old twins at her mom's place in Shirley, Long Island, about 65 miles east of New York City.
Okay.
Scazzari owns an SUV.
Bye.
The girls spend their days at a nice daycare center, and Scazzari works a full-time job.
A lot of people look at me and they judge me just by looking at me like, okay, well, she has a job. She has a home and, her kids look very well taken care of. Why would she need any help at all?
Scazzari needs help because by official standards, she and her daughters live in poverty. Her job as a certified medical assistant pays just over $19,000 a year and offers no benefits. So Scazzari's on Medicaid, gets food stamps, and a government subsidy to pay for childcare she could never otherwise afford. This 30-year-old single mom lives in that two-bedroom house with her mother and pays rent. Her car has almost 200,000 miles on it and is in such bad shape, Scazzari says she's afraid to drive it.
I live paycheck to paycheck. That's what it is right now, yeah.
Do you have any savings?
Typically, I have enough probably to get me through the next week or so, but as far as having a savings, no. I worry about not being able to have enough food to feed the girls. I worry about them not having the opportunities that other kids are going to have. So I'm constantly worrying, I'm always worrying.
According to experts, stories like Lee Scazzari's are becoming more common across the United States.
There are now more poor residents living in suburbs than in major cities.
Elizabeth Kneebone is a fellow at the Brookings Institution and co-author of the book Confronting Suburban Poverty in America.
Poverty in these kinds of communities can be hidden. It can be harder to identify or even understand the extent to which need has grown because it may not be easily visible.
Today, the nation's poverty rate is about 15% compared to 19% in 1964. When President Johnson declared the war on poverty.
Our aim is not only to relieve the symptom of poverty, but to cure it.
Kneebone says since then, some aspects of the problem have changed dramatically.
When we saw the launch of the war on poverty, the geography of poverty was very different than what we're looking at today. The bulk of poor people in the country lived in urban areas, in big cities or in rural communities. And since that time, we've seen a real shift.
According to Kneebone, since 2000, the number of poor people living in suburbs has grown by 65%. For example, poverty is up by almost 16% in the suburbs of Pittsburgh, up more than 27% in the suburbs of Providence, up nearly 79% outside Seattle, and in the suburbs of Austin, Texas, the number of poor has swelled almost 143%. More poor people now live in America's suburbs than in cities or in rural areas. The main explanation for this shift is simply demographics. Many more Americans have moved to suburbs in recent years, and that growth included low-income residents and new immigrants. Other factors? Suburbs are still recovering from the foreclosure and financial crises. Kneebone says federal programs for the poor were mostly designed back in the 60s with rural or urban communities in mind. And when hard times came to the suburbs, many were not prepared.
Often, suburban communities have not built up the same level of infrastructure and safety net supports that cities have been building up over decades.
Oh boy. Where do I begin with the challenges?
Richard Kubek chairs the Welfare to Work Commission in Suffolk County, where Lee Scazzari lives. It advises the county legislature on issues affecting low-income residents. Local governments, already strapped themselves, face greater burdens in the face of federal budget cuts and the winding down of stimulus funds.
Suffolk County, in the last couple of years, has faced a $500 million deficit.
Even though Suffolk County has one of the highest median household incomes in the country, and multi-million-dollar homes in the Hamptons, the food stamp caseload has soared, up 185% in the past 6 years. That's the case throughout much of America. Food stamp use up dramatically from coast to coast.
It can be very difficult, especially in this budget-constrained environment, to try and scale up to meet the level of need that they're seeing.
In Suffolk County, charities have stepped up as the local governments had a hard time meeting the demand.
Okay.
Food pantry organizers say they've seen numbers double in recent years, even in some of the county's most affluent towns. Carol Yarmish leads the Mercy House food pantry in Dix Hills.
We used to be one of a few food pantries, but now we're one of very many food pantries, and it's multiplying on a level that it's hard to comprehend.
Advocates say they're not just serving people out of work. They see many with jobs who can't make ends meet, just like Lee Scazzari. Nationally, real wages, adjusted for inflation, have been flat for several decades, even as costs continue to rise.
We also have these larger shifts in the economy where a lot of the jobs we're creating don't pay enough to make ends meet for a family. So even if you're working full-time, you're just not taking home enough.
That's especially true in Suffolk County, where many working poor don't qualify for government help because they earn too much to be considered officially poor, around $23,500 for a family of four.
Despite our affluence, we have a lot of middle-income people who are struggling. We are one of the most expensive communities in the United States in terms of everything: gasoline, housing, food.
In 2012, Kubek's commission put out a study estimating that, because of the high cost of living here, the poverty rate's at least 20%. That's three times higher than the official census figure of less than 7%. Another major problem and expense is transportation. In many suburbs, public transportation is limited. Until recently, buses in Suffolk County didn't run on Sundays.
If you're a working poor person, if you're, for example, a home health aide, many of them work on Sundays, what do you do? How do you get to work? Unless someone drives you, you take a cab, which could eat up 20 to 50% of what you're earning that day.
So many poor people, like Lee Scazzari, depend on their car. And car insurance and gas eat up about $600, more than 40% of the roughly $1,400 she takes home each month. And in case you're wondering, Scazzari's mom, who just turned 60, really isn't in a position to help. She's working two jobs to maintain the family home she inherited, and last year paid property taxes of around $7,000 on their small two-bedroom home.
So why do you stay in this house and in this neighborhood if it's so expensive?
Because my mother is the only family that I have. This is her home. She said she'll never leave here. I can't force her to want to leave just because the cost of living is inexpensive someplace else.
We do put on our socks like the girls.
Scazzari says she's also gotten no help from the twins' father.
The child enforcement is trying to help me locate dad. Before I even knew that I was pregnant with them, I got up one day and he was gone.
Some people might say, okay, the situation happened to you, but why should taxpayers help fund some of these programs that you are being helped by?
I mean, I started working when I was 12 years old. I've been working ever since. I've put into just as much, if not more, than what I'm asking for, you know? I understand the backlash, I really do. But at the same time, like, this is only temporary.
But for the moment, she's facing a catch-22. The more she earns, the worse off she might be. Because if she accepts the small raises she's been offered at her job, she'd earn too much to qualify for the child care subsidy. And if she lost that, she'd have to stay home with her kids, meaning she'd have no income at all.
A system that works against the system's own interest, it's just so counterproductive.
The Suffolk County Welfare to Work Commission's trying to address this and other issues affecting the working poor. It's pushed for more child care funding, held hearings to call attention to growing poverty, and helped get some public bus lines running on Sundays and later at night. Experts say it's critical for suburbs across the nation to recognize and address the changing face of poverty.
What we're seeing in terms of the growth in suburban poverty is a real pressing policy concern looking forward. If we think about the war on poverty, 50 years ago, when Lyndon Johnson declared this war, if everybody had known what was going to happen, what would we have done differently? This is our opportunity now for suburbs to answer those questions.